A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging arts organizations and institutions. Today, we'll look ahead to perhaps the premier summer music festival in the U.S., Tanglewood. The music festival is making progress on its planned expansion to bring added venues and educational programs, and I'll check in with Mark Volpe, managing director of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, about what visitors to Tanglewood will find once the project is completed. I'll also chat with Westminster Choir College graduate Jonathan Lakeland, who was selected for this summer's class of Tanglewood Fellows. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. The founder of the Venezuelan El Sistema Youth Orchestra that has inspired and energized music education programs in the Americas and Europe has passed away. According to the Los Angeles Times, José Abreu founded the orchestra in 1975, in part to help combat poverty through music education. As the music system expanded across the country, its ideals also spread to other countries. The Los Angeles Philharmonic music director, Gustavo Dudamel, perhaps one of El Sistema's most celebrated graduates, launched the Youth Orchestra of Los Angeles that was patterned on the program. Abreu was 78. The Princeton area will have the opportunity to see Dudamel conduct in the area twice next season, part of his role as artist-in-residence with Princeton University Concerts. Dudamel will conduct the Princeton University Orchestra and Glee Club, and will also curate a series of chamber concerts for ensembles comprised of musicians from some of the orchestras with which he is associated: the Los Angeles Philharmonic, the Simon Bolivar Symphony Orchestra, and the Berlin Philharmonic. More information on the season, which also includes performances by Bobby McFerrin and Joyce DiDonato, can be found at PrincetonUniversityConcerts.org. The Philadelphia Orchestra has named Matthias Tarnopolsky as its new president and CEO. Tarnopolsky, who is currently executive and artistic director of Cal Performances at UC Berkeley, is scheduled to begin his five-year term in Philadelphia this August. Born in Buenos Aires, Tarnopolsky studied at University of London King's College and previously was vice president of artistic planning at the New York Philharmonic and senior director of artistic planning at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Tarnopolsky replaces former CEO and president Alison Vulgamore. And finally, it appears a sale of Westminster Choir College by Rider University will not happen before the beginning of the next school year. In an email, Rider President Gregory Del Olmo notified faculty that while an agreement with Beijing-based Kaiwen Education is expected to be reached in the next few months, Rider will continue to operate the choir college past August. As a result, Rider rescinded layoff notices it had sent Westminster faculty last fall in anticipation of an agreement. Rider spokeswoman Christine Brown said transition details will be worked out as part of the eventual agreement with Kaiwen. Rider is seeking to sell Westminster to Kaiwen, which operates K-12 schools in China, in order to address its own financial struggles. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. Among American summer music festivals, perhaps the most storied is Tanglewood, summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. First held at the bucolic location nestled in the Berkshires of western Massachusetts in 1937, Tanglewood has become an annual destination for hundreds of thousands of music lovers from June to September. This year, the festival will celebrate the centennial of Leonard Bernstein, who was among those selected to study with Serge Koussevitzky and Aaron Copland in 1940 as a member of the inaugural class of the Tanglewood Music Center, and whose life would be closely intertwined with Tanglewood throughout his life. This summer's program will include performances of Bernstein's Chichester Psalms, A Quiet Place, Candide, On the Town, and Fancy Free, as well as works that celebrate his life as a conductor and pianist, an exhibit, and a colloquium examining his role as a social activist. The summer season will also present a wide variety of other works, from Brahms to Haydn, and broadcasts of the programs Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and Live From Here, formerly known as A Prairie Home Companion, with Chris Dealy. In addition to the music, though, this year visitors will begin to see some of the physical changes taking shape as Tanglewood moves ahead on its plan to add venues, expand educational programs, and enhance the landscaping. Launched last year, the $40 million project celebrated its topping-off ceremony in February, marking progress on the four-building complex that will provide additional rehearsal and performance spaces. I reached out to Mark Volpe, the symphony's managing director, to talk about what the expansion will provide and what's in store for the upcoming season.
We're making great progress. It'll be done a year from May, and it will be the home of the new Tanglewood Learning Institute, which we've just begun programming, and will also serve as the three principal venues beyond what we already have for the Tanglewood Music Center, the preeminent place where a guy named Leonard Bernstein was in the first class, and subsequent to him, many, many other musicians. In fact, roughly 25 to 30% of the musicians in American orchestras have had some of their training at Tanglewood, and that stat seems to hold generation to generation.
Well, I want to go a little more into detail on some of those, the individual buildings and the initiatives. As you mentioned, that four-building complex, which is the center of this project, what sort of additional facilities and venues will you be able to create and provide concertgoers?
Well, the big one, and we'll have naming ceremonies and all that later, so I don't want to give anything away. But the largest one has a space that is larger than the stage of Ozawa Hall. One of the challenges is we have the shed, where we have upwards of 18,000 people attend some concerts, and we have Ozawa Hall. And Ozawa Hall, I don't think anybody anticipated how successful it was going to be, because ultimately it gets used by students, by professionals, by recitals from about 6 in the morning to 1 or 2 at night, because there's a high school program that we coordinate with through Boston University, and there's obviously our music center, not to mention all the other activities. So there's so much pressure on that hall that the big room will allow us to move much of the activity there, where we can rehearse two things simultaneously, whereas right now we just have Ozawa Hall. The two other studios will be used slightly smaller, but they'll be used for chamber music, certainly when we have the great artists, you know, whether it's Pinky Zukerman or Yo-Yo Ma. We need places for them to teach and to mentor. And then obviously we are into distance learning, so they have to be wired in such a way that we can capture that and share whatever pedagogy is going on with the world. And so they're two smaller venues that won't really house public events, but will be certainly used for pedagogy and rehearsal and everything else. The big room will be actually all the entire complex of four buildings are winterized. We, as you may or may not know, I think we have close to 100 buildings in Tanglewood, and these will be the first four that are really fully winterized. So they'll be available, you know, for civic use, for, you know, for you know, our programming occasionally in the winter, and so we'll be able to extend the reach of Tanglewood beyond the summer.
As you mentioned, one of the major initiatives will be the Tanglewood Learning Institute. As you're putting together the programming, what are some of the types of programs and things that you'd like to that you're hoping to offer?
Well, every weekend at Tanglewood, there's a certain concentration of activity, the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday Boston Symphony concerts, of course, in the shed, but other things. And sometimes they're themed and sometimes not themed. But we're anticipating at least four of those weekends to have a concentration of activities that warrants special treatment. For instance, it could be something very, you know, esoteric that you know, in terms of geopolitics and whatever's going on in the world of possibly Wagner or Verdi. It could be something more populist, such as, you know, we have a tradition of film music. One of our great, great legendary figures that in Boston and Tanglewood's John Williams, and he does a concert treatment of film music every year that has anywhere between 15 and 18,000 people. And I could see a series of symposium and you know, lectures and all sorts of other interactive activities on film music and with some of the directors he's associated with, obviously participating, as well as other film composers. So I think it'll vary from, you know, week to week. Some will be a tad more esoteric, some will be populist. And I, you know, it'd be roughly every other week. that we'll have something in these facilities.
And in some ways, do you see this as a further way to become even more open to, in particularly the local population that may be able to come, you know, more often or several times throughout the summer?
Well, certainly. I mean, there I think over 18,000 second homes now in Berkshire County that feed into Tanglewood. So the second home phenomenon, people, you know, every city of consequence has a hall. And you get in cities like New York, they have obviously multiple halls. But what makes the Boston Symphony absolutely unique in the world of orchestras is Tanglewood. And so we you know, people, you know, come to Boston, you know, might hear a concert, you know, they might go to a hockey game, might go to a, you know, football game, whatever. They have other options in Boston. And the Berkshires, in the summer, you have other cultural institutions. But the reality is people are there because of Tanglewood, whether they're vacationing or whether they have a second home. And the people in the second home don't, you know, with second homes don't necessarily go back to Florida or go back to New York. Maybe they, in September, October. I mean, it's still beautiful out there. I mean, we obviously come back with the orchestra to start our season here in Boston. But there, you know, there'll be opportunities to do programming, you know, beyond the 10, 11, 12 weeks of programming we already do at Tanglewood.
Now, what types of challenges were there in planning the construction of these buildings, but really keeping them within kind of the atmosphere and the character, as you mentioned, the shed, for example, the character that Tanglewood has developed over all these decades?
The first thing we did is obviously in the, you know, we vetted, interviewed probably five architectural firms, but it became clear the gentleman and his firm that designed Ozawa Hall, Bill Ron, who's now designed very successfully six, seven other major halls and other projects in academic settings, you know, it became clear that he had a real passion, a real interest in taking his work at Ozawa Hall and building what we could only call a campus, you know, somewhat proximate to the hall itself. So, if you know, and he has spent, you know, every summer coming to Tanglewood, getting, you know, he certainly is more than cognizant of, you know, Tanglewood, which is this, you know, 530 acres, beautiful setting, gestalt of music and nature and education and all that. So I think he's certainly influenced by the spirit. And of course, landscaping is very much part the grounds itself at Tanglewood. Anybody that's been there, and it's absolutely unique. But it's one of the great, great settings. And so we work with a team of landscape architects from Reed Hillebrand, who obviously the last thing you want to do is, you know, alter or disturb, you know, the whole atmospheric part of the landscape of Tanglewood, and ultimately they're hypersensitive to that and are involved in this project, and so I think that you know, we picked our people, you know, that had values and had a, you know, had, it was certainly more than familiar with Tanglewood. So it's not, you know, it's not an urban setting, you know, we probably pick a different team here in Boston, but ultimately they've done a fantastic job of organizing the planning, and now it's a question of building it. And so it's basically planned and permitted. Now we have to, you know, it's about an 18-month schedule, and we're already third and fourth month in. So making great progress, and you know, occasionally getting stopped by the weather, but that's part of the Berkshire experience too.
Mm-hmm. And well, speaking of the landscaping, this project also does involve, or it's launching a new horticultural stewardship program. Why was that such an important part, and what do you envision that encompassing?
Well, we have, as I said before, 530 acres, and it's a little bit of a challenge in that it's basically three estates that we were so fortunate to, one, be given, and then two, purchase at a very reasonable price. And so how all these estates connect, you know, and how that comes to feel like one campus is people, you know. And so we didn't want to, you know, you've been to Tanglewood, hopefully, and you know, it's not like, you know, a grid like you would find in Manhattan. It's what we want the person to, you know, we want not to know where they are. We don't want people wandering around lost, but you kind of wander and find things, find different perspectives, find different vistas, find kids in a shack rehearsing something, and you hear the music kind of just drifting through the air. And so ultimately, what we, you know, hope with this horticulture initiative is tie three distinct things together And then also, you know, the other challenge is, you know, Tanglewood's now 77, 78 years old. So some of the hedges that, you know, some of the views have been blocked by, you know, hedges that were 8 feet tall are now 30 feet tall. And so how we pair that back, how we open up some of the vistas as you know, at the same time plant, you know, you see the old pictures of Tanglewood 40 years ago and everyone's sitting there on a Sunday, you know, you have 5,000 people on the lawn sunning themselves. And today, I think the dermatologists have persuaded people that that's not the best approach. And ultimately what we're having to do, candidly, and the major lawn, which is one of the signature aspects of Tanglewood, is plant more trees. Because as the gates open at 12 o'clock, I sit in my office and watch people rush to the shaded areas, trying to anticipate the you know, the sun, you know, the direction of the sun over a 4 or 5 hour period. And so ultimately, some of the horticulture people, we want, you know, we want the expanse of the lawn. At the same time, we want to provide people adequate cover so they're not, you know, unduly subjected to the sun. It's very interesting how you see the pictures. I'm a big history buff, going back 50, 60, 40 years, and no one cared about sun, and now everyone cares about excessive exposure to sun.
Well, the 2018 season was announced a few months back, and not surprisingly, the centerpiece is Bernstein, as many other organizations are looking to do and honor the 100th anniversary of his birth. How in particular will the Tanglewood season do that? What are some of the highlights of your honoring him?
Well, your audience certainly will associate Leonard Bernstein with many things, but I think what they might not realize is Lenny had his beginning at Tanglewood, was in the first class at Tanglewood, conducted an orchestra for the first time publicly at Tanglewood in 1940, and candidly, he had his last concert at Tanglewood with the Boston Symphony and the Beethoven 7th performance. And basically, he was there for 37, 38 consecutive summers. So what we wanted to do is really do, you know, not necessarily an entirely comprehensive treatment of Beethoven, but Beethoven, that's Freudian. Bernstein, we've done the Beethoven, now we're doing Bernstein. But ultimately, you know, where we have many of the really important concert pieces, especially the ones he wrote for the Boston Symphony, and he wrote some major pieces for the Boston Symphony as in his many summers here, but also have some of his Broadway music from On the Town, certainly the film version of West Side Story. We have Candide is also being performed. We have the Boston Ballet joining us for the first time in our history to do Fancy Free, a ballet. So we have opera, ballet, film, you know, Broadway, everything. You know, this guy was the Renaissance man of his time. So virtually every weekend has something very, very Bernstein, and it all culminates in the actual 100th birthday of what would have been, if he were still with us, his 100th birthday on August 25th, in a concert that features, you know, some of the great artists of our time, you know, conducted by Andras Nelsons and Christoph Eschenbach, Keith Lockhart, Michael Tilson Thomas, John Williams, and, you know, performing will also be Audra McDonald, Midori, Yo-Yo Ma, Susan Graham, Tom Hampson. So it's a galaxy of superstar conductors and artists all to celebrate. It'll be televised for those of your listeners who can't quite get to Tanglewood that day. It'll certainly be on PBS here, and it'll be probably on three other continents shortly thereafter. So it's a big, big summer honoring, obviously, one of the great, you know, one of the great Tanglewood personalities, and so we're so pleased to be able to do that.
In what ways does Bernstein's spirit and legacy still emanate throughout the Tanglewood tradition and the Tanglewood character?
Well, you know, he was in the first class of the Tanglewood Music Center. Now, recognize after him, you know, people like Claudio Baldo and Zubin Mehta and Seiji Ozawa and Wynton Marsalis and Burt Bacharach. So, I mean, there have been a lot of other, you know, famous people. But he was in the first class. Aaron Copland was the, you know, the dean of the faculty. And thereafter, Leonard Bernstein had some connection virtually every summer with the school. I mean, he conducted the Boston Symphony as well. But for him, it was the school, the next generation of musicians. And so he would never come to Tanglewood without doing a program or a project or something with the students at the Tanglewood Music Center, and so he touched the lives of, you know, thousands of people who, you know, everyone, you know, it's interesting when I go to orchestra, you know, whether it's in Philadelphia or New York or Chicago, and I see, you know, people who were at Tanglewood 30 years ago, 25 years ago, they can tell you. I mean, they might not even remember what they played last week with the Chicago Symphony, but they can tell you what piece they played with Leonard Bernstein at Tanglewood in 1969. That's the kind of impact he had, or 1977, depending, or whatever, pick a year where he was there, you know, and so ultimately, I think, you know, his impact, you know, went far beyond what transpired at Tanglewood, but all the lives he touched, as we, you know, every year, you know, as Leonard Bernstein used to say, you know, by the time they were done being an orchestra, they were an 8-week orchestra, the Tanglewood Music Center Orchestra, or a student orchestra, they were the fifth or sixth best orchestra in America. And then, you know, one day in August, they're no longer an orchestra, and those people all go off to play at other orchestras. And so, you know, Leonard Bernstein got to have impact in virtually every orchestra in America through his work at Tanglewood.
What do you feel were some of his most important contributions to first American music, but the world of classical music overall?
First and foremost, he was, I don't know, he's like a quadruple threat. I mean, not to sound, to use a sports metaphor. I mean, he obviously was a great composer and many, you know, he wrote opera, ballet, concert music, show music, film music. I mean, so he created a legacy that will last forever. I mean, I can't imagine a world without West Side Story, and, you know, or Candide, or, you know. So you have that. He was one of the greatest performers, you know, certainly of our time, and whether it's the music of Mahler or Beethoven or Shostakovich, you know, he certainly inspired people on four continents. He was a great educator. I mean, that is certainly what he did, you know, at Tanglewood and beyond. And then fourth, he was one of the first real, you know, people talk about, you know, JFK in terms of how he used media to communicate. Well, you know, Lenny Bernstein did the exact same thing for classical music, you know, through the Young People's Concerts, through other shows he did on television and on radio. Obviously, he didn't quite live long enough to be part of the new media world, but nonetheless, so you know, he was one of the first real huge media figures, and especially, I mean, I'm very, very partial to radio, but and radio existed, you know, before Bernstein, but television sort of, you know, exploded during Bernstein's life, and he was very much part of that.
That was Mark Volpe, managing director of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. The orchestra also recently announced its regular upcoming season, its fifth under music director Andras Nelsons, which will include a production of Puccini's Suor Angelica, Dvorak's Stabat Mater, and a concert highlighting works by Latvian composers to mark the 100th anniversary of the independence of Latvia, Nelsons' native country. More information on the Tanglewood or BSO seasons can be found at bso.org. One of the hallmarks of the Tanglewood experience is the Tanglewood Music Center, which each year selects a class of promising musicians for its fellows program. In addition to Leonard Bernstein, past alumni include Ned Roram, Stephen Mackey, Wynton Marsalis, Seiji Ozawa, Zubin Mehta, and Don Upshaw. This year, one of those fellows will be pianist Jonathan Lakeland, a graduate of Westminster Choir College and the Royal Academy of Music in London. Lakeland was accepted in the vocal piano category, and I spoke with him about what he's looking forward to studying and what it felt like to be selected.
It's a daunting thing because a Tanglewood Fellowship is kind of one of the ultimate honors and experiences you can receive as a musician in the United States of America, at least. When you look at the kinds of people who have received these fellowships before, the kinds of people who teach there, you're both excited and terrified at the same time. But for me, it, first of all, is it's a nice kind of affirmation in a way that somebody likes what I'm doing artistically and musically. But it's also an immensely exciting time because I know I'm going to be able to go to one of the most extraordinary places on the face of the planet for classical music to hone my own skills, to work with other great young musicians of my generation, and to get to know and be mentored by some of the world's greatest musicians who serve on the faculty of Tanglewood. So it's immensely exciting and it's daunting, but mostly exciting. And I'm very, very, I can't wait for the experience.
Well, what are some of the specific things you're perhaps going in hoping to work on, polish on, or just absorb?
Well, I'm a vocal piano fellow, at Tanglewood this summer, which means that I'm working predominantly with singers on vocal repertoire. Particularly, there's a big emphasis on the song literature and the song repertoire at Tanglewood, which is very special because it's harder and harder these days to find places where you can focus on that and where they want you to focus on that. And Tanglewood is one of those places. So I'm really excited to continue to delve into the world of song with singer colleagues and other pianist colleagues, especially at such an idyllic and beautiful place like Tanglewood, with such a rich history and so many resources afforded to us. I'm also excited, you know, being having gone to London to do my master's degree for 2 years, which was in itself such an extraordinary experience. I've been a bit disconnected from the scene in America for, you know, a couple of years. And so I'm really excited to get to know more of my American colleagues in the way that I got to know my British classical musician colleagues while I was at the Academy, and expand my reach and my contacts here in this country.
And what is your own past experience with Tanglewood? Have you gone to many concerts or other experiences there?
I did. I used to go when I was younger with my parents. I remember vividly seeing Renee Fleming in concert there with the Boston Symphony. So it's definitely a place I've thought about a lot, and it's a place that I've always wanted to be able to go there and to be a fellow there. And I think for every musician in America, it's kind of one of those places that's so symbolic. And myself, as a big Leonard Bernstein fan, as a big Aaron Copland fan, obviously Tanglewood is kind of was the center of their lives, at least in the summers, in so many ways. So I've kind of always lived with this idea of, oh, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be amazing to be a fellow at Tanglewood? And now that's actually coming true. So it's really such an exciting time for me.
Mm. And of course, perhaps this is the season to do that, because part of the focus is on Bernstein's centennial this year.
Absolutely. I mean, what a year to be there. And I can already tell just from the way they're talking about the season and the way the information is being given to us, that there's going to be a really special buzz there this summer, I think, because there's going to be such a celebration of Leonard Bernstein and, in general, of all of the history of Tanglewood, because he's such a part of so much of the history of Tanglewood. I mean, he was one of the first fellows ever at Tanglewood, and then had this kind of lifelong connection to the place. So I'm particularly excited to be there this summer, because I think it's going to be a really special time at a very special place.
That was Jonathan Lakeland, a Westminster Choir College graduate who will be one of this summer's Tanglewood Fellows at the Tanglewood Music Center. Also in this year's class will be Gemma New, former associate conductor at the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra. I hope you enjoy these conversations that I bring you, focusing on the changing dynamics and challenges in the arts world each week on A Tempo. But remember that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.